Thank you very much. I am Scott Holcomb. This is my wife, Tracy, my little girl, Trinity, my other son, Xavier. My other son, Matthew, still in Aransas Pass, visiting friends down there. He's going to take his driving test Tuesday to get his license, and he's down there. He's going off the West Coast. And Faith Baptist Church, Aransas Pass, Texas, that's my home church. That's where I was saved 12 years ago. I was 23 years old when I got saved. I was a church member when I got saved. Y'all understand what that is? You know, church members, some of them are lost. I sat in church, sang in the choir, drove the church bus, all the while lost, friends. And the preacher kept preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit told me, he said, Scott, you can fool everybody else in this room, but you can't fool me. And I finally went back to church one night, and I said, Pastor, I need to be saved. He took me in his office, and he said, Scott, you know the story? I said, yeah, I know the story. I've known it all my life. I hear the gospel every weekend. So I got down on my knees there and got saved. That was 12 years ago. The gospel changed my life, and God called me to preach, and we do thank you for this church. We thank you for the support of this church. Thank you, Brother Crawford. Brother Crawford was one of my teachers over at Norris. I graduated from Norris in 2007. And I appreciate him and all the church has done for us and supporting us. And y'all played a big part over there in Croatia as far as getting Bibles to us. Y'all have a missionary in India, I believe. He printed a bunch of Bibles for us. And that's what we had over there. We used those and we got some more. But we appreciate y'all doing that for us and sending an offering for that. Because without, there's not a good translation over there. We're still working on the Old Testament. So the last 3 years I've been in Croatia, all we preached out of was the New Testament because that's all we have. And the reason we do that is because when you're in Catholic country, friends, I was standing in front of a church one day, in front of a Catholic church passing out tracts, and hundreds of people were walking to this Catholic church. And so I walked in there to see what they were giving away. I thought they were giving away free ice cream or something because everybody was going in there. So I walked in there, and you don't have to actually go into the Catholic church. You can stand in the back where there's glass. And I was watching. As all these people walked in, not one person had a Bible in their hand. So what does that tell me? When those people sit down and that priest gets up there, he can say whatever he wants to say. And those friends, those people will believe it. And so we taught out of the New Testament for the last 3 years because that's all we have. Now we refer back to the Old Testament, but they're just taking our word for it. So when we preach the doctrine to them, we wanted them to see it with their own eyes. That wasn't Brother Scott making this stuff up. This is the Word of God. That salvation is free by grace through faith. Amen. And so that's what we did. But we appreciate y'all because y'all played a big part in that. Big, big part. We thank you for Heritage Baptist Church. Right now, I'd like to show you the DVD. I just want to give you a heads up. The first 2 minutes of this video is not Croatia. The first 2 minutes of this video are people from all over the world. Most of the people you'll see in the first 2 minutes of this video are people located in the 1040 window. How many of you have heard of the 1040 window before? You never heard of it. The 1040 window is the most unevangelized region in the whole world. Some of these people's never heard the gospel one time. Don't own a Bible. You say, Brother Scott, why do you care? You're going to Croatia. Well, friends, as a missionary, I have a missionary's heart. And Jesus said, the field is the world. Sometimes I go into a church and say, Brother Scott, you got 30 minutes. Give us missions. And I come up here and I can show you one country, or I come up here and show you the world. And my prayer is when I go into a church, I'd like to see some young men and some young women surrender their life to be missionaries. Is there any missionaries in here right now? Anybody surrender to be a missionary? Anybody in the room? Nobody? Pastor? Full-time Christian worker? Anybody? Amen. I got my work cut out for me this morning. Amen. But I just pray that your heart will be open. You may say, Brother Scott, you don't understand. I'm 65 years old. God can't use me. Friends, I was at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Arlington, Texas. There's a man in that church, Brother Pounds. J.C. Pounds is his name. God called him to preach when he was 72 years old. He preaches in the nursing home. There's lost people in the nursing home. Hey, but you know what? He didn't sit in the pew and count himself out. I pray that you won't do that this morning. Say, God, if you can use me, use me. But I want to show you the first 2 minutes of this video of people from the 1040 window all over the world. Never heard the gospel. May your heart be touched as you see these people. And the last remaining of the video is what we've done in Croatia the last 3 years when we've been there and what we're going to do when we go back.
We are the Holcomb family, missionaries to Croatia. We are sent out of Faith Baptist Church in Aransas Pass, Texas, pastored by Brother John Henson. Croatia is located in southeastern Europe, bordering the Adriatic Sea. I could show you a commercial why most people go to Croatia, with all of its beauty, islands, and historical monuments, but I'm not. God is not interested in those things, but He is interested in this, the souls of the men and women of Croatia, and this is why we're here. Nearly 5 million people populate this country, and 90% of them are Catholic. And Catholicism teaches that faith in Christ is not enough for salvation. I am a firm believer that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not one of the ways for salvation, but that it is the only way for salvation. We have spent our first term in Croatia doing what most new missionaries do, learning the language, becoming acclimated with the culture, meeting new people, handing out tracts, and preaching with the translator. I have been busy helping in two works here in the northern part of Croatia. The first church, Stavlo Života, in the town of Čakovec, was started by missionary Johnny Leslie, and is now in the hands of a national pastor, Brother Rajko Telebar. Here I helped in whatever capacity was needed. We have a kids' meeting every Sunday afternoon, and we bus in children from the Gypsy Village. Here they play games, sing songs, learn verses, and hear the Word of God every single week. We have had special events through the year to keep them excited and bring in friends. I taught a Sunday school class to the teenagers, led singing, and drove the church van. We also held a vacation Bible school, which was greatly attended. The second work Brother Johnny Leslie started was in the town of Varaždin, Kobjanice Baptist Church. It was fairly new when our family arrived on the field. I jumped right into responsibilities in this church. I was preaching every other week, leading the singing, soul winning, passing out tracts, and active in every aspect of ministry. During that time, we moved to a bigger building and did a lot of work to get it ready for our first service. I was also responsible for leading the church while Brother Leslie was on furlough for a year. We have had different outreaches to the community trying to get them into the church. We also started our Christmas in Croatia project, in which we collected money to supply food baskets and gifts for the needy at Christmas time. Thank you so much to all who prayed and gave to this ministry. The Lord has blessed abundantly during this first term. It has been our privilege to work with and learn from Brother Leslie for this time. Upon returning to Croatia, we will be moving to the capital city, Zagreb, and beginning a brand new work there. Zagreb has always been the focal point and heart of the Croat population. The population for the entire Zagreb metropolitan area is over 1 million souls. There is not an independent Baptist church here, and is in desperate need of the Savior. We have sown the seed numerous times in this thriving city, and praying the Lord of the harvest would begin, even now, softening the hearts of these precious people. We are praying that we can find a house in close walking distance to the city center, which on any given day slightly resembles New York City. Multitudes and multitudes of people running to and fro, lost and on their way to hell. Please pray for us as we take the next step of this journey the Lord is leading us on, and as we continue to shine the light of the gospel in this spiritually dark country.
How many of you would believe that last quote? That we can reach every nation in this generation if every Christian has a determination and obedience to do it. You think we can do it in this generation? I believe we can. God told us He'd be with us. He'd give us power to do it. He'd provide for us. He'd give us His power, His presence, His provision. The only thing He lacks is His personnel. And you know who the personnel is? That's me and you, friends. That's me and you. 3.2 billion people has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. That's not God's fault. We can't point our finger at Him and say, God, that's not right. That's not His fault. It's our fault. But it's my fault. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter number 7. This is probably one of my favorite mission stories in all the Bible. Mission in the Old Testament? Of course. Missions all through the Bible. I heard someone say if you take missions out of the Bible, all you have left is the cover. It is the job of the church. 2 Kings chapter number 7. Before we begin reading there, we're going to begin reading to verse number 3. But before we do, let me bring you up to speed on where we're at in this story. Because if you don't, you'll miss it and you'll leave here thinking, what in the world was that guy talking about? This story takes place in times of Elisha. And the Bible says that Ben-Hadad was king of Syria at this time. And the Bible says at the end of chapter number 6 that Ben-Hadad rose up and besieged Samaria. Now this is what I believe would happen. If you look up here, I'm going to say the tip of this microphone is the city of Samaria. What I believe Ben-Hadad did, we took his army, he set up camp all the way around this city. What he was going to do was he was going to starve these people out. He was cutting off their food supply. They couldn't bring food in and they couldn't go out and get more food. And after a few weeks, days, they began to starve. Ben-Hadad could take his army in there and take over Samaria without losing any casualties. I mean, it's a great military strategy if you think about it. Amen? And the Bible said it was working. The Bible says that the famine got so bad in Samaria that they were selling donkey's head for 80 pieces of silver. Now friends, I don't know how hungry you got to be to eat a donkey's head. I've never had donkey head before. Do y'all eat donkey head in Haslam? No. I've had barbacoa before. I was in a church, all Spanish church, didn't speak any English, had to preach with a translator, and they had a big meal afterwards, and I tore something up, it looked like brisket. It was like greasy brisket. I put on some tortillas, ate about 5 of them. They told me afterwards what it was, barbacoa. It's cow's head. Stuff was good. But I've never had donkey head before. But I want you to understand something, friends. The people in Samaria are Jews. There are certain things that Jews cannot eat. They can't eat barbecue pork chops, bacon, shrimp, catfish. How many of you praise the Lord that you're a Gentile today? Amen. Yeah, you like that. You want some barbecue pork chops wrapped in bacon with a side of catfish, don't you? Yeah. Man, that's good eating. But friends, hey, when you're a Jew, you can't eat that stuff. A donkey is an unclean animal to a Jew. But friends, when you haven't eaten in 2 or 3 weeks, you know what you're saying? Forget the law. Bring me some donkey head. Bring me 2 with cheese. Amen. You're starving beyond degree. The Bible also said they were eating doves, though. Now, some commentators say that dove's dung was a nasty vegetable, and they nicknamed it dove's dung. But some commentators say, no, they're actually eating dove's dung. Hey, and I wouldn't put it past them. When you haven't eaten in days, friends, dove's dung may taste pretty good. Sprinkle some of that dove's dung on your donkey head soup, amen? Now, some of you kids may not know what dove's dung is. You can ask your parents about it later when you're eating lunch, all right? That'd be good for them. It got worse than that, friends. The famine got so bad in the land, the king was walking through there. And the lady cried out to him and said, King, King, help us. And he looked at her and said, hey, if God can't help us, I can't help you. He asked what the problem was. She said, well, me and this lady, we made a deal. She said, yesterday we'll take my baby, we'll boil my baby, and we'll eat my baby. And tomorrow we'll take your baby, we'll boil your baby, we'll eat your baby tomorrow. And yesterday, King, we took my baby, we boiled my baby, and we ate my baby. Now, King, it's lunchtime. And she has hid her baby. Tell her to bring her baby out here so we can eat. Friends, I want you to see how hungry these people are in Samaria. Forget about the donkey's head and the dove's dung. They're eating their own children. They're eating their own children. Now, when we get over to 2 Kings chapter number 7, we'll talk about four leprous men. If you know anything about leprosy in the Bible, when a priest found you unclean, friends, you are cast outside the city walls. You could not live within society. You are outcast. You are an unclean person. And usually the only charity you got in a leper colony was charity from the inside. Maybe they had some old bread, some old fish, and they'd give it to the leper colonies. But friends, I already told you what they're eating on the inside. Donkey head, dove's dung, and their own children. So what do you think the lepers have? Man, they don't have anything. They're starving way beyond degree. They don't have no donkey head to eat, no dove's dung to eat. They don't have no kids to eat. So they're starving beyond degree. And this is where we get to our story. I want you to look at verse number 3 of 2 Kings chapter number 7. The Bible says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering end of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear noise of chariots, and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver, gold, and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered to another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And this is the verse I want to concentrate on this morning. Verse number 9. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry to the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Father, I thank you for the visitors that are here this morning. Father, I pray if there's one here who's not truly born again, maybe a church member like I was, God, I pray that you convict their hearts and they'll truly accept you this morning. Father, I just pray if there's some young people in here, Father, who's never surrendered their life, maybe to be a full-time pastor, missionary. God, half the world has never heard. Our job is not done. And God, there's just some people in this church you probably want to use to get the gospel out. God, use me as a vessel this morning and bless this message. I can't do it without you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here you see these four lepers. They're sitting there. They have nothing to eat. You say, you know what, guys? If we sit here, we're going to die. You know what we should do? Let's get up. Let's walk out there to that Syrian army. Maybe they give us some food. Maybe they give us some bread. Maybe better yet, they'll take out a sword and cut off our head. That's what they're saying. How many of you would rather die by the sword than die by starvation? Sword, just like that. Your head's rolling. It's over. Starvation could take days. And you would just starve and starve and suffer and suffer and suffer until you died. So these lepers said, okay, guys, if they give us food, great. If they cut off our head, great. We have nothing to lose. So they get up there. They start walking out there. And while they're walking out there, the Lord had made that Syrian army who knows the chariots, who knows the horses. And that Syrian army said, guys, they're coming to get us. Let's get out of Dodge as fast as we can. Don't grab the gold. Don't grab the food. Don't grab the raiment. We're out of here. Hey, material things become a little value when you might lose your life. So they left. So when the lepers got there, guess what? Friends, I venture to say it was the best day of their life. What do you mean? They could have been lepers 20, 30 years. They had nothing. Outcast of society. Dirty, mangy clothes. Nothing to eat. They get to this place, friends, where a great Syrian army was, and there's nobody there but four measly lepers. You know what it looks like to them? Golden Corral. Chinese buffet. Use your imagination. Mexican. Whatever you like. Hey, it's all there. All you can eat. It's all yours. Gold, raiment. Lepers had mangy old clothes. They're probably trying on new clothes. The Bible says they're going in one tent and they're going and taking gold. They're digging, burying that gold and silver. They're setting up retirement for years to come. Smart lepers. Hey, they're having the greatest day of their life, friends. And I want you to notice something. They didn't work for it. They didn't do nothing for it. It was freely provided for them. Who provided it? Who sent the noise? The Lord sent the noise. Hey, they didn't do nothing for it. They got there and they began eating, having a grand old time. And shoving food in their mouth. How many of you have ever been eating McDonald's french fries so fast you accidentally bit your finger? Has anybody ever done that besides me? All right, those french fries are good. You can't get your fingers out fast enough. I bet these lepers are having the time of their life, friends. Food all over their face, all over their shirt. Their bellies are full. They got nice clothes on. They got gold. They got riches. They can't spend it all. But then something dawns on them, friends. Something dawns on them. As they're sitting there enjoying those good things, they say, you know what, guys? Something's not right here. Something's just not right. We sit here and enjoy all these good things. Our bellies are full, but just a couple hundred yards away, people are eating donkey head, dove's dung, and their own children. And we sit out here and enjoy it, and we're not telling them. They said, men, we do not well. We do not well. They realized, firstly, friends, they realized they had the greatest news in all the land, and they weren't telling nobody. What was that? What was the greatest news in the land at that time? Hey, there's enough food here for everybody. Come and eat. It's free. It's all you want. Come and eat. You don't have to eat your kids no more. That was the greatest news in the land at that time. Well, how does that apply to us, Christian? Well, friends, we don't have the greatest news in all the land. You know what we have? We have the greatest news in all the world.
Amen.
3.2 billion people has never heard it. They're starving. They're starving, friends. You and I, we get to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We get to sit under Brother Crawford. And guess what you get to hear? The greatest news in all the world, friends. That God in His mercy and grace would leave heaven and come to earth and live a perfect righteous life and take all our sins upon Him and be nailed to a cross. That should have been us on the cross, friends. But Jesus took my place. And the Bible says when we put our faith and trust in Him, we shall be saved. Friends, there's no greater news than that, friends. We've been reconciled, justified, redeemed, accepted in the Beloved. Amen. Sanctified. All those good things. There's no greater news than that, friends. We get to hear that stuff every weekend. So some of it's his old hat. You're like, whatever. Jesus died on the cross. That's great. I heard that last week. It shouldn't be, friends. It should be new every week. Greatest news in the world, friends. Greatest news in the world. You and I get to feed on it every weekend. You're saying, Brother Scott, you say that like it's a bad thing. No, friends. I'm saying we've been blessed. You've been blessed, friends. Here in America, I can run down to Family Dollar and buy the King James Bible for 99 cents. A King James Bible for 99 cents. These countries I showed you in the first few minutes of that video, they've probably never seen a Bible before. It's probably illegal for them to have one. They probably want one. Well, who's going to take it to them? That could be one of you, friends. Friends, we've got to realize we keep this news to ourselves. We do not well. One of my favorite preachers, Dr. Curtis Hutchin, I put it on the video there. He says the only way we're going to evangelize the world is when the evangelized become evangelists. Who are the evangelized? Those who have heard the gospel. Some received it, some may not. Those who have heard it and received it, guess what we have to do with it, friends? We can't keep it to ourselves. We have to tell somebody else about it. And we can reach the world, friends. I want you to hold your place there and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 4. Verse number 3 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "For I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now we understand what that is. The death, burial, resurrection. There's two words I want you to see in verse number 3. If you have things to underline things in your Bible or important words, highlighting. The word delivered and the word received. The word delivered and the word received. Well, what is Paul telling us here? He said, men, I received something. What did you receive, Paul? What did you receive? I received how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. He says, I received that message. But what did he say he did with it there at Corinth? What was the other word? I delivered it. What are you saying? Paul received something. What did he do with it there at Corinth? He delivered it. Receive, deliver. Receive, deliver. Receive, deliver. That's how missions works. That's how soul winning works. We receive the greatest message in the world. You come to church, you receive it, and guess what Jesus tells you to do with it? Go deliver it. Don't keep it to yourselves, friends. Go tell somebody else what you've learned. Friends, we have the greatest news in all the world. We can't keep it to ourselves. I go to churches sometimes and we hear that song. Untold millions are still untold. It's like a happy song when you sing it. It's one of the saddest songs you ever hear in your life. Untold millions are still untold. They almost need to change the lyrics to that now. It's untold billions now. Friends, there's more lost people in the world today than there ever has been in history. More lost people than there ever has been in history. 3.2 billion. And the number goes up. Sometimes we do nothing. Friends, what are you doing with the gospel? If you keep it to yourself, we do not well. Via giving to missions, praying for missions, or going out. What are you doing with it? First, they realized they had the greatest news of all land. Secondly, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, if we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Secondly, they realized the danger of holding their peace. The danger of holding their peace. Hey, the Syrian army could have got halfway down the road and said, guys, I guess we're hearing things. Let's go back. And they went back and found these four lepers eating all their food, hiding all their gold, and trying on all their clothes. What do you think the Syrian army would have did to those guys? It would have been curtains for them. You understand? But what if some of the people in Samaria walked out there and found these four lepers? They probably knew them. They probably knew who they were. Could have been an old relative. They walked out there and said, guys, what are y'all doing out here? We just ate my daughter yesterday and you sit out here and stuff your face. Why didn't you come tell us? You see the danger, friends? The danger in their day, people die of starvation. The danger in our day, people are dying and they're going to hell. They're going to hell, friends. These lepers knew if they sat around and did nothing, something bad's going to happen. Somebody's going to find them and they're going to be held accountable for not telling nobody. What? Amen. The people of Samaria would have found them and said, you guys didn't tell us? What do you think the people in Samaria would have did to those guys? They're in there starving, dying by the hundreds, and they sit out here and eat and never tell anybody. You don't think those Samaritans would have did something to those lepers? It would have been curtains also. We must realize, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 10, it says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us. Now that's not the great white throne judgment, that's for unbelievers. But every believer who's trusting in Christ this morning will stand before Christ and give an account of what you've done in the body, according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. You understand that? You understand that? You say, Brother Scott, I don't like this. You make me feel bad. You make me feel guilty. I don't like this kind of preaching. Friends, you got to understand something. How are you going to feel when you stand before Christ one day? You're still alive. You can be a changed person when you leave here. You can get a pocket full of tracks and go out and greet somebody. Hey, you're still alive. It's not over. But when you stand before Christ, that's it, friends. That's it. You're going to look it in his eye and say, hey, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with the gospel. I didn't know. He told us 5 times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Acts, to go preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just for the apostles, that's for us, the church. And friends, we're going to be held accountable one day. I believe us Christians, we've got so much faith in going to heaven. And I can't wait to go there, friends. Hey, what a day that will be. We sang that in Sunday school class. That's my favorite song. Amen. There's no greater song than that to me. And I can't wait to get there, friends. But you know what? We Christians, sometimes we lose faith in hell. Hell is a real place and people are really going there. And friends, you don't go to hell 200-year stint and you get on a good report. When you go there, friends, it's forever. I heard one preacher say, I wish we could all get on a church bus and go to hell and spend 5 minutes there. Not 5 minutes. Maybe 5 minutes may be too long, friends. How about 5 seconds? Just to hear it, to smell it, to feel it, to see it. Friends, when you got back, you'd be a different person. You would be a different person. We've lost all faith, and people are going to hell. Sometimes I say in the church, you believe Jesus Christ coming back? Yeah, I believe Jesus Christ coming back. Amen. We believe that. We believe it's imminent. Amen. There's a verse over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. I want you to turn there real quick. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse 28. The Bible says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, you know, 1 John is written to Christians. It's not written to unbelievers. What is John saying here? They're saying abide in him. Stay with him. Stick with him. Stand for him. Do something for him. So when he does come back, you'll have confidence. And friends, guess what? Some Christians, you know what some Christians will be when Christ comes back? They'll be ashamed. If we abide in him and do what he wants us to do, we'll have confidence when he does come back. Hey, we're doing your work. Our hands are dirty. But hey, if we're not doing nothing, if we're just sitting in a pew collecting dust, not doing anything for Christ, when he comes back, friends, we're going to be ashamed. For lack of faith, commitment, love, lack of concern for others. Hey, friend, are you ready for him to come back? Are you ready? You may say, give me another month and I'll be ready. Hey, friends, he could come back tomorrow. What are you doing? Are you keeping the gospel to yourself? If you are, friends, you're going to be ashamed that it's coming. You're going to be ashamed that it's coming. Friends, we've got to realize the danger of us holding our peace. We've got to realize the danger of holding our peace. Lastly, verse number 9. The Bible says, now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. I want you to notice they already established the fact that they had the greatest news in all the land. They've already established the fact, hey, if we keep this news to ourselves, something bad is going to happen. This ain't going to be good. We got to go tell somebody. So they come to the conclusion. Now, therefore, since we come to that conclusion, let's go. Let's do something about it, that we may go and tell the king's household. Hey, friends, we can sit here and feel bad for all those countries over there who never heard the gospel. 3.2 billion, think, oh, Brother Scott, that's sad. Oh, yeah, that's sad. And 2 weeks from now, you forget all about it. Hey, it's one thing to feel bad about it, friends. It's another thing to actually do something about it. David Livingston said, sympathy is no substitute for action. We can sit here and cry about it, and cry about it, and cry about it. That won't do nothing until we get up and do something about it. We can pray to the Lord of harvest that he'll send forth laborers into some of those countries that don't have no missionaries. Have zero missionaries. Jesus has one prayer request, to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And friends, when we say that prayer, let's include our children in that prayer. Uh-oh, wait a minute. You want me to pray to the Lord of harvest that he might call my sons and daughters to the mission field? Is he worth it? Amen. Amen. They realize, hey, they did something about it, friends. The Bible says that, now therefore come that we may go and tell the king's household. I want you to understand something. Like I told you before, these lepers were outcast. Outcast. Nobody wanted to be around them. They were unclean people. I wonder if one of the lepers said, hey, let's go tell them. One of the lepers probably looked at them and said, hey, guys, they don't like us. They're not going to listen to us. But the other lepers probably said, you know what? It doesn't matter if they like us or not. We have to go tell them. We have to go tell them. Friends, we think we arrived up in Croatia. They rolled out the welcome wagon and said, the Holcombs are here. Preach to us the gospel. You think they said that? No. You kidding me? A Baptist is a cult in Croatia. They think of us as Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. They're heavy Catholic. Hey, it didn't matter if they like us or not, friends. We still have to go tell them. We sat on the other side of the road, the doors, those gospel signs. We couldn't speak the language, but we knew God could. Put some Bible verses on those signs, and people would see them. And we believe the power of the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. We know what it does to them. They give us the finger. They laugh at us. They scold us. Hey, it didn't matter. We still went out there and held gospel signs. We've been commanded to go. It doesn't matter if they like us or not. That's what these lepers said. They said, guys, we have to. It's not preference, friends. It's duty. We sing that song. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Last verse of that song. Duty demands it. Hey, we sing that song. Do you believe it? You believe it? We're supposed to rescue the perishing? Come on, friends. When those hymn writers wrote those songs, they meant that stuff. All to Jesus I surrender. You believe that? Go to Africa and preach the gospel. Yeah, easy, God. Easy. Easy. I'm just singing a song here. I'm not being serious. A.W. Tozer said, Christians don't tell lies. They go to church and they sing them. That could be very true for some of us. All to Jesus I surrender. And we say, go to Cambodia and preach the gospel. Easy. Maybe we should be singing, some to Jesus I'll consider. Is he worthy of all of our surrender? I believe he is, friends. Amen. These lepers had a have-to mentality. Those early Christians had a have-to mentality. Friends, we have to. The apostles had a have-to mentality. The apostle Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." He said, "Necessity is laid upon me." Friends, when was the last time you ever felt like that? That you just had to do it. You had to pass out some tracts. You had to tell somebody else about Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." He says, "I'm a debtor to those men." Why? Because he borrowed some lush money from them, never paid them back? No. It was because he had something that they didn't have. You know what that was, friends? It's the same thing you have in your lap this morning. What do you have in your lap this morning? The Word of God. Paul said, "Man, I have it. They don't have it. I'm a debtor to those people. I got to get it to them." Friends, when was the last time you ever felt like that? You come to the altar this morning and say, "God, give me that. Give me that heart. Like those old missionaries. Like those apostles." No, actually, forget all that. Give me your heart, God. Give me a burden for people like you had for me. Amen? They had a have-to mentality, friends. They realized they had to tell the good news. What are we doing with the gospel? I hope some of you are giving. When you give to missions, you're saying, "I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm going to do something about it." Praying for missionaries. Friends, we need your prayers. I got some new prayer cards back there. I pray that you get one of them. I heard one preacher say, if you just give for a missionary and you don't pray for them, you send them to their defeat. Pray for missionaries. Go, friends. You can go. These little paper soldier tracts. Hey, we can't reach the world with giving out tracts, but it's a good start. I know three missionaries on a foreign field today because somebody gave them a tract. Hudson Taylor. Great missionary in China. You know how he got saved? By reading the tract. He reached millions in China, but he got saved by reading the tract. Friends, everybody can do this. Your biggest problem the pastor should have is keeping the tract rack full. Keeping tracts in the building. He should come in the church and not see tracts laying around. No tracts on the tract rack. No tracts on the tables. And he should be mad. He should want to kick somebody. He said, "Brother Wiggins, come here so I can kick you. All my tracts are gone." Now everybody in Hazlitt knows how to be saved and everybody knows where the church is. This is a problem. You think that'd be a problem? That'd be a good problem. Amen. All the tracts are gone. We got to order more tracts. Church members keep taking them. They're just not keeping the gospel to themselves. They're taking it everywhere. Friends, that's our duty. That's our job. 3.2 billion people. Somebody asked Charles Spurgeon, "Mr. Spurgeon, for those who never heard the gospel, can they be saved?" And Dr. Spurgeon said, "Hey, that's not the question with me. Here's the question with me. That those who have the gospel and never tell anybody, can they be saved?" What? That those who have the gospel and never tell anybody, can they be saved? Friends, as a Christian, there's three things every Christian should know. When you got saved, there should be a time in your life when you realize you called upon Christ as your personal Savior. You should know when you got saved. You should know how you got saved. Did you get saved by water baptism? Good works? Going to church? No, you got saved by grace through faith, I hope. You should know when you got saved, how you got saved, and how to tell somebody else how to get saved. Those are three basic things every Christian should know. If you don't know how to tell somebody else, hey, Brother Crawford will teach you. Brother Wiggins will teach you. Some of these other men will teach you how to teach somebody else how to be saved. Everybody should know how to do that, friends. But many of us don't. And friends, if we don't, or we don't care, we do not well, friends. We do not well. We can't get this good news to ourselves. Croatia, it's like my Samaria, friends. When I heard about Croatia, 90% Catholic, 5 million people, and I realized there's other religions over there, Mormonism over there, Jehovah's Witnesses over there. You know what all those religions are, friends? Not just in Croatia, all over the world. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Islam. You know all that stuff is? That's donkey head. That's dove's dung. Those are unclean things those people are eating. But you know what? When there's nothing else to eat, you'll eat Catholicism, Mormonism. Some guy knock on your door and say, "Hey, you want to be like God when you die? You want to be a God, you and your wife have little babies, and you live on your own planet, and they all worship you?" You say, "Man, that sounds good." Next thing you know, they got a white shirt, a black tie, a backpack, and a bike. Just like that. That stuff sounds good, friends. But hey, that's not the truth. You know what this is? This is the bread of life. Amen. Friends, this is what they need. This is what they need. Amen. And you and I have it. Some of us own 10, 12 Bibles in our home. Some people don't have one. What are you doing with it? I hope you're not keeping it to yourself. And if you do, friends, you do not well. Charles Spurgeon, this thing is soul winning, evangelizing, nothing but this. And I'll say this. It's nothing but this, friends. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That goes right along with this story. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. But friends, if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you can't start thinking about other people 3.2 being never heard. Friends, I was thinking about you this morning. Have you ever called upon Christ as your personal Savior? You know this morning that you cannot save yourself. Just because you came to church this morning doesn't mean you're a Christian. I sat in church for years. Since a little boy, all through my life. I didn't get saved until I was 23. Hey, I didn't pick up no favor points with God because I did that. I was a sinner. Deserved hell. It wasn't until I called upon Christ that He saved me. Friends, if you're here this morning, the Bible says, hey, he that believeth in me shall never thirst. He that cometh in me shall never hunger. Friends, if you die without Christ, and you stand before Christ one day, you're going to be starving. Pray that you'll call upon Him. But if you are here and you are born again, you are truly born again. Friends, we have a duty to do. We have a gospel, the greatest news in the world, and we cannot keep it to ourselves. We got to do something about it. Giving to missions, going, praying. Cannot keep it to ourselves. And if we do, friends, we do not well. Let us stand.